How is confessional Lutheranism similar to and different from American evangelicalism, Roman Catholicism, and Eastern Orthodoxy? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is titled Being Lutheran. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Save $2 by ordering Being Lutheran during the month of May. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Being Lutheran. There are those red flags that are, they're just so big, they just tower in front of you when you hear them. Although a lot of Christians, when they hear these phrases like, Jesus told me, or the Lord laid it upon my heart, there are different ways of saying this, they don't see the red flag. They see clear sailing straight ahead. They want to know, yes, Pastor, please tell me, what did Jesus just tell you? What did he reveal to you last night while you were writing your sermon? Now, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. That's John chapter 10. Is he saying that Christians, that your vision casting leader, your pastor, should be expecting and receiving direct revelations from Jesus on a regular basis? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to be answering that question. Does John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, teach that Christians receive direct revelations? Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We are going to be kind of evaluating the misapplication, really tragic misapplication, of Jesus' words, my sheep hear my voice. But before we do that, what does Jesus mean when he says, my sheep hear my voice?
Well, truly, we do hear the voice of Jesus, and Jesus is not saying that he's not communicating to us. But what happens is that oftentimes Jesus will speak in a figure of speech, or he will use a parable when he's speaking, and you end up making a very bad interpretational turn when you take a phrase, a parable, or a figure of speech of Jesus, and then you interpret it literally. That you're going to run into problems when you do that. And oftentimes, let's just put it this way, people are not very skilled at rightly handling God's word, and they don't pay attention to context, and they don't pay attention to another rule in hermeneutics, and that is that Scripture interprets Scripture. So many times you will find in the Bible that God has caused the Holy Spirit to inspire the biblical authors to talk about the same subject in several different ways. And because of this, we have multiple data points when it comes to doctrines revealed in Scripture, and we have to order them rightly. And the way they're ordered is the clearest ones are the ones that govern everything else. Clear Scriptures interpret unclear. That way you don't run afoul of things. But oftentimes evangelicals are very biblically illiterate, and the people who are pastoring them, their vision-casting leaders, either have not been trained in this, or worse, they've been trained by people who are not skilled exegetes. So as a result of it, they twist God's word. And in this sense, John 10 is easily understood if you compare what Jesus is saying in John 10 to other passages of Scripture where Jesus is talking about how we are going to hear his voice. For instance, in Luke chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus sends out his disciples, and he says this of them, "The one who hears you hears me. The one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." There's kind of a hierarchy, if you would, from God the Father to Jesus the Son, and then to the ones he sends. Jesus makes it clear that the ones he sends are the ones who hear his voice. John 13:20, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me," or John 17 from this week's gospel. "Sanctify them in the truth," Jesus prays in his high priestly prayer. "Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them in the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in the truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." So when you take the breadth of Scripture and you take what Scripture says on this topic specifically as to how God's going to speak to us, or more specifically, how Christ is going to speak to us, then we know that Jesus has made it clear he does speak to us, and he speaks to us through the apostolic teaching, which we find in the New Testament.
What are we going to hear, Chris?
All right, we're going to start off with, we're going to be listening to Robert Morris of Gateway Church, and this is a sermon that he preached a couple weeks ago on John chapter 10, where he's kind of giving the standard evangelical twisting on this, and he's going to begin first by explaining to us kind of the central doctrine of the evangelical faith, if you would, the doctrine of the personal relationship with Jesus and the implications that's supposed to have as far as us receiving direct revelation from Jesus.
All right, so I want you to turn to John chapter 10. You're absolutely going to love this series, John chapter 10, and we're going to talk about hearing God. And I want you to think about what is the main difference between a believer in Jesus Christ and a non-believer. What's the main difference? And let me give you the answer. It is that a believer has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. An unbeliever does not have a relationship with Jesus. A believer in Jesus has a personal relationship with Jesus. Okay, it's hard for me to believe that that personal relationship does not include communication. And yet there are entire persuasions of theological thought that God doesn't speak anymore. And that, to me, is crazy to think that way. That he spoke for 4,000 years, and we have record of him speaking to person after person after person in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then all of a sudden, after the first century, he just got laryngitis, or he's just bursting up there because he hasn't talked to humans in over 1,900 years. It's just crazy. But if you have a thought that God doesn't speak anymore, I really don't mean this condescending. I mean it the way I'm saying it. I feel so sorry for you. That you have a personal relationship with someone who never speaks to you. I don't know how personal that is.
All right. It's a clever little trick he played there.
Yep.
But if we take him seriously, Chris, he's basically just gutted sola scriptura, scripture alone, hasn't he?
Sola scriptura is totally in shreds at this point. And in fact, you'll notice here that there's even a tone in which he's saying this that is somewhat condescending towards the revealed word of God. It's what we have in the scriptures. There's a sense in which you are just a poor schmuck if you believe that God stopped talking 2,000 years ago and is speaking to you through a letter. I mean, I feel so bad for you. I mean, we have a better revelation than what's in the Bible, and it's the stuff that Jesus is speaking right now into my heart. And so there's a disdain for the written word of God, even in the way he presents this. But you'll notice the technique is that he kind of starts with their central doctrine, the personal relationship with Jesus, which, by the way, is a weird way to talk because the Bible doesn't actually talk in these terms, at least the way they're saying it. Scripture actually reveals that every one of us has a relationship with God. The question is whether we have a good one or a bad one, because the one who is impenitent, the one who does not believe in Christ, is under the wrath of God. They have a relationship with God, it's just not a good one. And then the believer has peace with God because of what Christ has done. But you'll notice he starts off with the central doctrine, this idea that I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and then he starts drawing extrapolations based upon that concept. So this is kind of like doing theology using logical syllogism. If this is true, then this must necessarily follow. But he's not actually reading a biblical text to say any of the things he's saying. In other words, the doctrine he's giving us is not found in Scripture. This is actually a theology formed out of his own mind.
He's not telling us what Jesus actually is saying.
No, not at all.
Drawing conclusions based upon what a personal relationship must be like.
That's correct. And then that's supposedly binding, and everyone and the people listening to him think that's reasonable because they've been taught, well, it's all about that personal relationship with Jesus.
What's next, Chris?
All right, now we're going to see what he does is he hopscotches. He doesn't actually exegete through John 10. He hopscotches through several key phrases in John chapter 10.
Okay, John chapter 10, Jesus is contrasting himself as the good shepherd with the thief, the robber, who is Satan. All right, so John chapter 10, look at verse 1. We're talking about we're sheep and we can hear God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. Now watch this carefully. And the sheep, watch, hear his voice. Can you just say those three words? Hear his voice. It does not say sense his impressions. And I'm not saying that God doesn't give us impressions. I just simply am literally blown away. And when I say that, again, I'm not saying it condescendingly because I used to be of the theological persuasion that believed that God didn't speak anymore. And I'm shocked that I could have ever believed that. That he's just has chosen not to speak anymore since he wrote us a letter. And we have his word, but now he doesn't communicate personally to his children. I'm just shocked that I could have ever thought that way. Hear his voice. That's the Bible. His sheep hear his voice. And he calls, so the way you call is your voice, his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know, what? His voice. And if you have any doubt that this is talking about Jesus, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. So Jesus said, we know it, but just in case you had a doubt, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now look at verse 16, John 10, 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Watch, and they will, what? Hear my voice. Okay, I can hear God.
All right, Chris, you said hopscotch through Scripture. Just to kind of apply that, if you would, what was going on there?
Sure. You'll notice if you were to actually read John chapter 10, he left a lot of stuff out. He just focused in on the phrases that really fit. He's proof texting here that fit his thesis. And so he reads part of John 10, the opening verses. He hopscotches to verse 11, then down to 16, and just leaving all kinds of data on the cutting room floor, if you would. But it's fascinating if you just take a look like at the opening verses of John chapter 10. Verse 6 says this about what Jesus says in the preceding verses. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So we know that verses 1 through 5 are a figure of speech. So here's the figure of speech. Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. Jesus is using a figure of speech, one that they would have understood at the time, which was a common practice back then, is that, you know, shepherds would oftentimes, you know, group up at night and make it kind of divvy up the work of protecting the sheep overnight, and so they would mix flocks together in one big sheep pen, and then in the morning, the porter would open up the gate, and one of the shepherds would start calling out to his sheep, and guess what would happen? His sheep, only his sheep, not another guy's sheep, would come out and would literally follow him. This is the figure of speech that Jesus is using. So what Robert Morris is doing is he's just keying in the words, hear my voice. That must be literal, but how can it be literal? Because in the midst of all of this, Jesus is using a figure of speech. speech. Now, for him to say that God doesn't communicate to us, again, is to ignore what Scripture says. God is communicating, and it says of Scripture that all Scripture is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So God's written word is not dead. It is alive, and God is communicating. In fact, Jesus is speaking to us each and every time we open up our Bibles or we go to church and the Scriptures are read and proclaimed and preached. Jesus himself is speaking to us, and he's promised that that's the case. So for Robert Morris to somehow liken God's word to somehow being dead and him hearing a living voice based upon his misuse of John 10 is, well, it's just messed up at best.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're answering the question, does John chapter 10, My Sheep Hear My Voice, teach that Christians ought to be receiving direct revelations from Jesus? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
An oasis in the desert of Pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Here's what Kitty in Lawrenceville, Georgia, had to say about last summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
I wanted to let you know that my favorite part of this year's conference was being part of the live show of Issues Etc. I will always remember just clapping and being a part of that show.
You can find out more about the 2016 Making the Case conference Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th in Collinsville, Illinois at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." Does that mean you should expect direct revelations to hear his voice saying new things to you that you can't find in that old Bible of yours? Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. All right, Chris, our time is short. Let's move on to the next bit of revelation from our teacher today, if you would.
No pun intended, I'm sure. All right, our next soundbite is going to be him engaging in more kind of speculative hypothesizing based upon something that supposedly in Scripture regarding hearing from God's voice related to creation itself.
He said, "My sheep hear my voice." When you're born again a child of God. He's the shepherd, you're his sheep. Sheep have the ability to hear the shepherd. And this is what makes us different. Even though he's comparing us to sheep now, as human beings, we were created in the image of God, and our God is a communicative God. Our God is a speaking God. The whole reason that you have the ability to hear and speak is because you were created in the image of a hearing, speaking God. Why would he create you with the ability to communicate and then not communicate with you? That would be a horrible thing to do to you. To create you with the ability to communicate, and he has the ability to communicate, but he doesn't communicate to you. That'd be a horrible thing. And again, it's a horrendous line of thought. It's literally, let me give you the Greek word for it, it's baloney. Bologna is how it's pronounced in the Greek.
All right, Chris, that's kind of more of the same. Now he's basically saying that God made you to communicate, gave you ears, in other words, so why isn't he saying anything?
Right, exactly. And all of this, again, this is actually not a biblical argument. Although it is true, we are originally created in the image of God. It does not necessarily follow that because God gave us ears, that we should therefore expect that God is going to, via direct revelation, speak words into those ears that we can't get from anywhere else. Now, here's the thing. God does speak into our ears, but he does so through the preachers that he has sent, through the pastors and the pastoral office and those who are teaching God's word to us. God is speaking into our ears, and Scripture makes it clear that that is the normative way in which he does communicate to us this side of Christ's return in glory. So, you know, and again, notice the disdain he has, this idea that God is not speaking directly to me apart from the Bible. That would somehow make God evil or wicked, and he's turned this into some kind of a moral issue. But the issue is that he's not actually exegeted this from any biblical text.
One more, Chris.
Yeah, the next one is regarding prayer. Here are the implications Robert Morris gives regarding how this should revolutionize our prayers once we understand that God wants to talk to us.
And even the disciples said, teach us to pray. But let me remind you that hearing God is the second half of prayer. Because if you can't hear God, why would you pray? Now, one reason is to make our requests and petitions be known to God. But God never intended prayer to be a giving of our to-do list to him every morning. He intended prayer to be communication between a father and his children. And if you'll just take some time and start to listen, you'll be amazed that he'll speak. But most of us do this. Now, I'm just going to give you an analogy. It's like someone's going to call you on the phone and talking for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and then hanging up before you ever have a chance to say anything. That's the way many Christians pray. God, I need this, they need this, need this, need this, need this, got to go. And God's thinking, would you like to hear what I have to say about that?
What is he advocating that Christians do here, Chris?
This is called listening prayer. That's the technical term for it. And basically saying, you know, so once you're done praying, sit and listen, you know, because apparently pray, the other half of praying is listening for God to explain to you what he thinks and feels about what you said. The issue is that Christ, when he taught us to pray, he said, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, and we all know how the prayer goes. And when Jesus concludes teaching his disciples to pray, there is no other verse at the end of it that says, and then when you're done, sit for 5-10 minutes and listen for God's voice so that you can hear what God has to say regarding what it is that you prayed. He's literally adding to Scripture with this doctrine that he's created and putting words in God's mouth.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, you can meet and hear Chris Rosebro making the case for the means of grace at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We have just 40 slots left. That's just 40 slots left, so don't wait to register. You can find out more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. It's the 4th Annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 10th, and Saturday, June 11th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. You can also listen to Chris Rosebro and Fighting for the Faith in about 5 minutes at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. That's coming up in about 5 minutes. Monday on Issues Etc., we'll be looking forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher, and we'll be doing our series Top 3 Verses. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. Jesus says pray, and then just ask, and you know how he ends the prayer? Amen. Amen is, it's all in God's hands now. He's made his promises. He will keep his promises. Where do you hear him making those promises? In Holy Scripture. Don't listen for him speaking to you anyplace else. Please, it won't be God who's talking. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.